welcome to the next audio in our O'Brien sales series. And today we've got Darren Hutchins with us. Darren, we've got a really important conversation because we're going to talk about the top 10 trends that we've seen emerge as we close out for this year. And it's a really important part as an agent to understand how you can put these trends in play and make them a big part of your business. The first of our trends is what we've got to call market analytics driving better conversations. Darren, I haven't seen this anywhere before, the amount that we've seen in the course of the last 12 months of the amount of analytics and data information that's available inside of the publications from Australian Financial Review to the mainstream media about what's happening market by market, play by play. The Heron Todd White graph about talking about where markets are actually sitting. We see Melbourne now very firmly at the bottom of that graph, moving into the stages of recovery and even a growing market. We're also starting to see quarterly growth of 2.52% here in Melbourne. That's kind of seeing that we're actually into that moment of recovery. How important is it for agents to understand the data analytics and to be using that when they're talking with both buyers and sellers in the marketplace today?
Very important, Josh. I think the amount of data and the analytics coming at us is important. And, you know, when you talk to your team, it's about, you know, assessing that data and working through that data so that you can have great conversations with your clients when you're client-facing. So it's coming at us strong and fast. I think, you know, from a market shifting point of view, I don't think I've ever seen a market swing back up as quickly as it has here in Melbourne. And, you know, the importance of that data to get some real clarity around it, and then being able to put that in play with your clients is crucial.
So trend number two is about measurement mattering. One of the big things that we've seen here in all of the individuals that are really getting some incredible growth in our top 10 at O'Brien are very clear about measuring the important things, listing sales and income, actual versus target, but also to the number of buyer appointments, market appraisals and listing appointments. And they're starting to look at de-risking their business in that they're getting other people inside of the team to be doing more of those market appraisals and creating more of those listing opportunities. And that's a really important component. Measurement, we know, links to the strategy. If we've got the right strategy, we put the measurement in play, and the measurement then allows us to adjust. Why is measurement such an important part for a salesperson? And, you know, why should they be looking at those numbers to actually help them to get growth?
Keeps them on track, JP. Keeps them on track, keeps them focused on where they need to be. I think at the end of the day, you know, start with the basics. Calls, connects, down to, you know, basically appointments, booking appointments, you know. When I talk to salespeople through the group, you know, the best in the country goes to work and does one thing. You know, his one job is to book 3 appointments a day, you know, 15 a week, 60 a month. So, you know, if we start with that, booking the appointments, you know, keeping the measurement around your calls and your connections, and then, you know, really having a clear focus on that, it just keeps your business on track. You know, if you don't measure it, it doesn't happen.
So trend number three, kicker fees are back. You know, obviously we're starting to see over the course of the last 8 to 10 weeks that a number of properties have been selling, and they've been selling well above reserve in some markets. It is important for an agent to consider having a kicker fee, where maybe, for example, it might be a certain fee up to the reserve, and then maybe 10 cents in the dollar for every dollar in excess of the reserve price. It just allows the opportunity that if a property does sell well above the reserve, that an agent can actually increase their margin on the sale. How important is it for us to be able to use these tools in a rising market?
Look, I think we all love a kicker fee, but I think at the end of the day, we've got to be a bit careful around kicker fees. I think, you know, it's great to pick up a phenomenal fee. I had an auction myself recently that, you know, started off the vendor was looking $9 to $9.50, would have been happy in that area. Now, in the end, sold at $1,366, 10% kicker, $416,000. You know, on that, based on that $416,000, would have been, you know, $41,600. We all love a kicker, but I think you've also got to look at the experience the client has, because that client leads to the next client, leads to the next client through referral. So, you know, it's for me, I love them. I think they're great, and you know, obviously, it's good from a cash flow perspective of any business. But I think you've also got to look at it and say a fair fee will deliver better business down the track too.
Trend number four is that vendor expectations are climbing. One of the great challenges that we see the industry has, what I think is a relatively poor view of it, in that when they advertise or market a property, they say how much a property is sold above the reserve. And it's, in my opinion, I'd rather that it just be say that it's sold. I don't want to publish how much it was above the reserve, because I think that for the buyer, it actually sends a very, they feel a bit weird about that in terms of the messaging. I think too that for a seller, they feel a bit weird in the messaging. And all it does, it just makes if future vendors say, you know what, we can be putting up our pricing because properties are selling so much above that number. How important is it to be able to manage those owner expectations in a rising market, and particularly because some owners are thinking they might just delay and just wait a few months for the market to continue to rise before they come to market?
I think the key is, you know, the weekly meetings, keeping their expectations under control. To give you an idea, last weekend there was a certain amount of properties that were passed in across certain groups. Now, I believe a lot of that's around lack of education around the expectation piece, and you know, obviously you've got vendors that are seeing these social feeds, 110,000 above reserve, 200,000 above reserve. As you said, Josh, I think it's when you're pushing out that social messaging, great result achieved for a vendor, great result for the purchaser, happy vendor, as opposed to those massive over reserve figures. Look, it's hard. It's hard to keep their expectations under control. But you know, I think if you're constantly communicating with the vendor, having those conversations, keeping them in alignment with where you started, and then you know where we're heading. It's you know, but as I say, I think the messaging around that's 110% what you said. You know, I've bought property. I think if I found out that I'd bought a property and paid 200,000 over reserve, I don't think I'd be very happy with the agent.
So trend number five is that stock is still tight in a lot of markets, but there's real growth in prices. And this is a really important one for an agent to understand is that, you know, working where the market's actually moving. And what we have seen is that there are some price points that are really moving. There are other price points that are still, you know, relatively subdued in terms of the volume. How important is it for an agent to understand where the market's going and to make sure they're prospecting around that particular type of property?
Very important. So again, you know, stock's very tight out in the marketplace right across Melbourne, even in an area where I have an office, you know, basically 58% decline since the peak, so 58% less stock on the market. So I think at the end of the day, when you sell something, you get a great result, you know, get out and hit the streets, get out amongst it. Property we sold up in Mount Waverley just recently, we've spent 4 days door knocking around that property, so and created several opportunities. There's a couple of properties that are coming to the market. There's one particular property that you know, the expectation of the vendor rose significantly, wants to sell it off market, and you know, we've had several conversations around potentially looking at doing things a little bit differently instead of just having it off market for a prolonged period of time. Let's do a Friday open for inspection. It's a public holiday, grand final week. So let's have an hour, get all the buyers through from the recent auction, and then progress that into potentially a boardroom auction in the event that we can get five or six punters that really are keen on that. But I think you've got to look at it and say, if you do traditionally what most agents do, which is nothing around their listings once they've sold, you're not going to get to where you want to get to. So I think you've got to work harder at the moment. You've got to, you know, basically get off your backside, get out amongst it, do the door knocks, do the calls, and, you know, there is opportunity out there, but it's a matter of you creating that opportunity.
Trend number six is that face-to-face appointments are driving real growth. You know, we've seen that in a number of people sitting inside of the business where just focusing on those one numbers have been a really important part. You know, people like Jared McGovern, we've seen a big drive inside of his own individual business. That's a really important conversation for people, is just saying that, you know what, it doesn't take that much to actually turn the dial here. But I'm not really about the number of calls that you do or even potentially the number of call sessions that you do. What I just know is that we've got to get you to a minimum of 3 appointments a day. So I think that's a really important trend for us to think about, that, you know, in a world that's gone so digital and where agents are so confused about all the things that they can do, what I do know very quickly is that if you're getting face-to-face with consumers today, you have an opportunity to significantly drive the results. Trend number seven is an interesting one. This is about lead sources are everything and cut the wastage. One of the things that we did here is that we went to one of our clients in inner city Sydney, and we went through his last 108 transactions over the course of the last 12 months. You know, so he's doing very well. Out of those 108 transactions, he was telling me that his number one lead source was definitely buyer work. And Darren, when we went to his profile on Real Estate or Domain, we clicked on the sold results because that gives you the rolling 12 months of what you've actually done. What we actually identified is that out of those 108, his number one lead source was actually his personal network. His number two lead source was actually his past clients. The number three lead source was actually the social proof around a property when it's just been listed and sold. And almost his worst lead source, the smallest one out of all, was actually the buy work. But yet he has two people full-time employed inside of his team that's just doing buy work. Now, he has a very healthy average sale price around $2 to $2.5 million. So you would expect that there's a lot of trade-ins coming with that, you know, when someone's buying an asset at that level. The interesting conversation was that now what we've realized is that although those people inside of the business, they might be doing some great buy work to get the property sold, but they're not really getting anything out of that in terms of finding the listings. So for an agent, It's really important to go back over all of the listings that you've got in the last 12 months to identify which of those lead sources are actually working with you, so you can cut the stuff that isn't and focus on what you can. Because if personal network is one of your major lead sources, Darren, how many real estate agents do we know that would do a 45-minute call session on just calling their personal network each and every week if that's going to be one of their major lead generators?
Not many, Josh. I think at the end of the day, you know, you've identified there that, you know, that's where most of his leads are coming from. But I think as a business owner and a principal, I'd also be stepping back and looking at, you know, obviously there's some great buyer work being done, but are the right questions being asked? Are the right questions being asked of these buyers? You know, where are you moving from? What's happening with your existing property? So, you know, I agree. Let's do the 45-minute call sessions around existing networks. But also, I think the clarity should come around those buyer appointments and where things are at there. You know, having those conversations with those buyers and a little bit more work, you know, should really focus on that, go back into that.
And look where the areas of efficiency and growth are, right? Like, so if you're doing really good in one, how do you amplify that? Or do you need to open another lead source now? Okay, great. So we're at our max in terms of what buyer work is there. So maybe I've got to push on personal network.
Well, is it back to Google reviews? You know, let's get some serious Google reviews around some of the transactions you've done. 108 transactions should be realistically 200 and what are we talking to? 16 Google reviews. Happy buyer, happy seller.
So trend number 8 is that the best teams grow agents within their team. One of the things that we're seeing here is that the movement away from just having someone who's just going to do buyer work only, and really what you're doing is you're developing that junior agent to being a senior agent around, you know, the type of person who has the capability to go out and list, the type of person who has the ability to be able to go into a market appraisal. And that might not be in the core. Maybe it's different types of property, different price points, all of the above. But learning that we actually want to really build people in the organization for career progression rather than just locking them into a role of just being the buyer assistant for the rest of their career. What are your thoughts on this one?
Great conversation. I think at the end of the day, if you look at the most successful businesses through the O'Brien organisation, they've grown from within. And I think if you look at it, there was one of the best learnings that I've had in my years of real estate is that as you grow a team out, the pie doesn't get smaller, it actually gets bigger. So, you know, I think as owners of businesses, as key salespeople, you know, the growth of people's important. And if you grow your team bigger, it grows a bigger pie and it creates a lot more opportunity throughout that office and throughout the whole organisation. So, you know, the bigger the team, the bigger the pie. Shifting people away. I've got a young guy who spent a year with a key agent that's working with me at the moment that's shifted phenomenally over the course of the last 3 months, and his main focus was purely buyers. He's now booking those appointments that he wasn't booking. He's actually now starting to do some listing on his own. So, you know, my focus with him is to get him to a point where he's a key agent very quickly.
Trend number 9 was about off-market to on-market becoming the key skill. And what we've seen here is a lot of agents that have been maybe a little poorer around that skill in terms that they've been using off-market as maybe a soft way to list a property. But we know that we need to get all the basic things, the photography and the styling. We need to get the Section 32. Ideally, we get the pest and building reports too before we go live to market. When we're doing off-market, we're in a position we show one, two or three buyers through. And then one of our mechanisms is to then take the property to market to force that buyer to pay more. So when that buyer turns up at that first open for inspection, now we've got public profile, now we're in a position we've got signboards, now we're on real estate, now we're on domain. We're actually in a position that we're not losing the agent footprint, but most importantly, we're putting the pressure where it needs to be to get that buyer to perform. How important is it for an agent to build the skill base about being able to get off market, to be on market, and not to be in a position that they take on listings where they're not in control?
Look, it's a conversation, Josh, that I had yesterday. I think at the end of the day, you know, one particular property off market, 5 hours of work went into listing it off market. Now, you know, and then there was no plan around bringing it to market. So, you know, I think the uniqueness of the industry that we're in is that our vendors are paying to a point for our profile. So, you know, as you mentioned, the boards, the proof on domain and realestate.com and everything else. I think if you're going to take an off-market listing, have a clear agenda and a clear plan around how we can get this property to market, because at the end of the day, there's no point doing 5 hours work for $0. You know, everything we do, we should be looking at monetizing out and getting a return. I think the key is to put some value around your hours and what you charge out per hour, because, you know, if you're doing 5 hours to list up a property off market and you're getting paid nothing, where's the real value in that?
So our final trend, number 10, interest rates are set to decrease whilst first home buyers are driving forward with the first home owners deposit scheme at the start of 2020. What we're seeing here is a lot of opportunity and particularly in listing a lot of properties that could be suitable for first home buyers as we come to the end of this year and the start of next, because we expect that come January there'll be even more renewed interest at a buyer level where some of those first home buyers can now enter the market with that first home owners deposit scheme. Really important for agents to be getting a bit of a focus about where markets are moving. So Darren, that brings us to the end of our top 10 trends for people. We know this is the important time of the year. You know, we're in a position that we'll have about six or so auction Saturdays left to book for 2019. And then we're going to be booking all of our auctions for 2020. Still a really good time to be taking plenty of properties to market via for sale. If you can't get an auction in, being in a position that you can take plenty of open for inspections. But this is an important time of the year as we come into that October, November and early December period. A good, strong opportunity for agents over the next 10 weeks to really generate a ton of leads and a ton of opportunities. So let's get out there, let's get focused, get the appointment numbers up, and really start to drive the momentum in the business.
That's awesome.